Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We read the verses 8 through 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Dear friends, how do you respond when you receive good news? Let's say you just found out that your newly married son or daughter is expecting a baby, or that a distant relative died and left you with a substantial amount of money, or that your boss decided to give you a big raise or a promotion. How would you respond? Oh, I'm sure you'd be very happy. And to express your happiness, you might jump up and down for joy. You might dance a little jig and sing a little tune. If you were really happy, you might take someone you love out for dinner, or get on the phone and tell your relatives and friends. After all, things like this do not happen every day. When something special happens, we respond appropriately. This was also true for the shepherds. Having heard the announcement of the Savior's birth, the shepherds immediately resolved to find him and see him for themselves. And so we read the words of our text, Luke 2, verses 15 through 17. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. There's much that we can learn here about the response of the shepherds. Let us then, with the help of the Lord, meditate on these verses together. The theme for the sermon is the shepherd's response to the announcement of Christ's birth. And we'll see that they came to him with haste, they found him as promised, and they proclaimed him with joy. The events of our text occurred immediately after the angels announced the birth of the Messiah. The shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Suddenly the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. The angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Luke tells us that as soon as the angel had finished speaking these words, the night sky was filled with a multitude of angels, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then, as suddenly as they appeared, they were gone. No sooner did the last angel disappear into heaven than the angels resolved to seek the Lord Jesus themselves. We read in verse 15, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Then we read in verse 16, And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now there are several lessons we can learn here. First of all, we learn that those who would find the Lord Jesus must seek for him. We see this here as well. The angel did not bring the shepherds to the Lord Jesus. He could have done that. He could have led them to the exact spot where Jesus was. But he did not do so. They had to go and find him. And that is true also for us, dear friends. If we really want to find the Lord Jesus, we must look for him. The Lord will not reveal himself to us just like that. He will not suddenly appear out of thin air and say, Here I am. No, if we really want to find him, we must look for him. Jesus says, Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given you. Well, this raises the question, where must we look for him? Well, we must look for him where he can be found, in his holy and inspired word. Yes, this is where the Lord Jesus can be found. The Lord Jesus cannot be found in the bar or in the pub or in the movie theater. He cannot be found in secular books and magazines. He can only be found in his holy and inspired word. As Jesus was walking with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, we read in Luke 24, verse 27, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we really want to find him, we must read and study his word. Now that requires some effort. It requires you to come to church and to listen to the preaching of the gospel. It requires you to come to Bible study as the Lord enables. It requires you to read and study your Bible at home, as well as good and faithful books and commentaries that will help you understand what the Bible is saying. These are the means that the Lord has appointed for revealing himself to us. And I ask you this morning, my friend, are you making use of them? Perhaps someone says, well, that involves a lot of work. Indeed, it does. The shepherds discovered this too. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about the difficulties the shepherds encountered as they set out to look for the Lord Jesus, but it is reasonable to assume that they encountered many of them. Oh yes, the angel had told them that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and was lying in a manger somewhere in Bethlehem. But he did not tell them exactly where he could be found. No doubt they had to knock on many doors, which could not have been very pleasant, as most people would have been sleeping. They would have had to search every stable in Bethlehem. But at long last they found the one they were looking for. They searched high and low, but eventually they found him. Oh, let us remember this, dear friends. Let us take instruction from these shepherds. Finding Christ is not easy. It involves effort. It involves hard work. But if we persevere, we will find him, just like these shepherds. Secondly, we learn that when urged to seek the Lord Jesus, we must come to him with haste. Isn't that also what these shepherds did? As soon as the angels returned to heaven, we read that the shepherds immediately resolved to find the Lord Jesus. Luke says they came with haste. There's an important lesson here for those of you who are unconverted. My friends, how often has it not happened that the minister has urged you to flee to Christ? But instead of responding immediately, like Felix, you delay and you say, the time is not right. Maybe later, maybe when I am older. Or you come up with all kinds of excuses. You say, I am too sinful to go to Christ. You say, I am not serious enough. I am not pious enough. I am not spiritual enough. I do not know my sins enough. I do not know if I am one of the elect and therefore have a right to come to Christ. And on it goes. Oh, my friends, how you need to pay heed to the example of these shepherds. They could have come up with all kinds of excuses as well. They could have said, well, you know, it's still dark. We don't want to wake everyone up. Besides, who would look after the sheep while we're gone? Better to wait until morning. But they said nothing of the kind. They heard the announcement of the angel, and immediately they set out to find him. My friend, should you not do the same? Seeking the Lord Jesus is something you cannot delay, not even for an hour. For in 1 hour you could be dead, and you will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then you will have to give an account of what you have done with the many invitations of His Word, also those that are extended to you this very day. And then it will be too late, and you will be cast into hell, and there you will remain for an everlasting eternity. Oh, my friend, do not let this happen to you. Today is the last Sunday of the year 2006. How many times have you not been invited to come to Christ? And how many times have these invitations not fallen on deaf ears? Oh, do not end this year without Christ. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Do not put off to tomorrow what must be done today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved this very day. That is the promise of the gospel. And so the first lesson that we learn here is that the shepherds came to the Lord Jesus and they came with haste. What happened next? We look at that under our second point. After searching for the Lord Jesus for who knows how long, the shepherds eventually found Him. We read in verse 18, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now here again we can learn several lessons. We learn, first of all, that those who diligently seek the Lord will eventually find Him. This truth is expressed not only here, but in other passages of Scripture as well. In Proverbs 8, verse 17, Solomon says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, or those that seek me diligently, shall find me." Or Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me, the Lord says, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Earlier we quoted the words of Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." The Scriptures are clear, my friends. The Lord will reveal Himself to those who diligently seek Him. But perhaps someone is saying, "Well, I have been seeking the Lord Jesus for many years now, and I fear that I still have not found Him." That, of course, is very possible. Sometimes the Lord withholds His face from us for a time. For example, the psalmist of Psalm 42. He writes in Psalm 42, 1 through 3, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" Here was a man who sought after God with all his heart. He was like a deer panting after the water brooks. He searched for God high and low, but could not find Him. Or we can cite another example, the psalmist of Psalm 77. The psalmist begins the psalm by declaring that he had sought the Lord. In verse 2 he says, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not, but my soul refused to be comforted." The psalmist had indeed sought the Lord, but his soul was not comforted. He did not find Him. And so he complains in verses 6 through 9, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies?" Or we can cite one more example, the psalmist of Psalm 88. He begins by crying out to the Lord in verse 1, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee." He cried day and night, but the Lord did not answer him. Instead, he seemed to heap on one trouble after another, to the point that he thought he was going to die. And he's led to cry out in verse 14, "Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why hidest Thou Thy face from me?" The psalmist was in trouble. He cried out to the Lord, but the Lord hid His face from him. Why is that? Why does the Lord sometimes hide His face from His children? Well, we cannot say for sure. Sometimes He hides His face in order to test them. Sometimes He hides His face because they have not repented of a secret sin. But one thing is certain, the Lord will not always hide his face. He will reveal himself to us. So long as we persevere in the use of the means which God has appointed, the reading of Scripture, prayer, listening to his word, going to church. Therefore, dear weak and struggling believer, do not give up. Keep on using the means which the Lord has made available, knowing that one day you will find him. The shepherds discovered this, and so will you, if you carry on. Secondly, we learn here that those who diligently seek the Lord will find him exactly as he is described in his word. That's also what these shepherds discovered. You remember when the angel appeared to the shepherds, he told them that they would find the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And that's exactly what they found. We read in verse 18, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now this is true also for us. When we seek the Lord with all of our heart, we will find him to be the exact same Savior as he has revealed himself in his word. And what kind of Savior is he? Well, the scriptures reveal so much about him. They reveal, first of all, that he is a divine Savior. In John 1 verse 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is a divine Savior. He is also a gracious Savior. In John 1 verse 14, John writes, "He is full of grace and truth." He is a meek and humble Savior. In Matthew 11 verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He is also a loving Savior. When the rich young ruler told Jesus that he had kept all of the commandments of the Lord from his youth up, we read that Jesus loved him. He is also a compassionate Savior. He healed the sick. He restored sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He ate with publicans and sinners. He is a powerful Savior. Matthew 28 verse 18, he says to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." He is a willing Savior. When the leper came to him and said, "Lord, if thou art willing, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean." And we read that the man was made whole from that very hour. He is a gentle Savior. In Isaiah 40 verse 11, we read that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He is a sympathetic Savior. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He is a forbearing Savior. In the parable of the fig tree, he is portrayed as the vine dresser who pleads with the owner of the vineyard to give the tree one more year to produce fruit while he dug around it and fertilized it. He is an ever-present Savior. Prior to his ascension into heaven, he said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." He is an all-knowing Savior. Jesus knew everything that would happen. He knew how he would die. He knew that he would be betrayed and who would betray him. He knew his disciples would find a man carrying a pitcher of water and that he would show him to the upper room. He knew that the woman with the issue of blood had touched him. He knew that the woman at the well had had five husbands and that the man she was living with was not her husband. He knows all things. And finally, Jesus is a forgiving Savior. To the paralytic man, he said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." To the woman who anointed his feet with ointment, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven." This is the kind of Savior that the Scriptures portray him. And when we find him, we will find him to be exactly this kind of Savior. Oh, since that is so, my friends, what an incentive we have to come to him. No one who comes to this Savior will be disappointed. He will be exactly as he is described in his word. Thirdly, we learn that when we find Christ, we must look to him in faith. The shepherds did this too. Having found the Lord Jesus, they also beheld him with the eye of faith. Well, that's not stated in our text explicitly, but it is there by implication. The fact that the shepherds immediately went out to proclaim to everyone that they met that Jesus had been born implies that they regarded him not as any ordinary baby, but rather as the promised Messiah, as Christ the Lord. Now, my friends, this is none other than the work of the Holy Spirit. By nature, the shepherds never would have come to this conclusion. They would have only seen a tiny, helpless baby who was so poor he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, they beheld him for who he really was, the promised Messiah, the Savior of his people. My friends, is that also how you regard him this morning? As the Messiah, as the Savior of his people? Sad to say, many people today do not. If they believe in Christ at all, they believe he was simply a good man, a wise philosopher who taught us some good principles to live by, but certainly not the Savior. But when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, then we see him for who he truly is. Then we no longer see a baby lying in a manger, but we see the Messiah, the Savior of his people, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. Oh, my friends, have you also come to see this? How necessary this is. You see, unless we acknowledge him for who he is, we cannot be saved. And therefore, I urge you, if you are not saved this morning, pray that the Holy Spirit may open your eyes to see and to acknowledge him for who he is, and most importantly, to embrace him as your Lord and Savior. The shepherds therefore found Christ as the angel had promised, and having found him, they also proclaimed him. And we turn to that under our third and final point. Our text ends with these words, "And when they had seen it," that is the baby Jesus, "they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." No sooner did these shepherds lay eyes on the Lord Jesus than they began to tell others. What they said, we do not know. Most likely they recounted to everyone everything they had seen and heard. How an angel had appeared to them, bathed in the glory of the Lord, and told them that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. How suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host appeared in the night sky, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." How after the angels returned to heaven, they made their way to Bethlehem, and they found the child just as he had been described. They told everyone they met everything they had seen and heard. No doubt many of the residents of Bethlehem thought these men were crazy. Many others probably made fun of them and mocked them. But that did not matter. They had seen the Lord Jesus, and they wanted everyone to know. Well, my friends, is that also our response? How sad it is that we who know so much about Christ, who he is and what he has done, fail to tell others about it. Oh, to be sure, we cannot all be full-time evangelists and preachers, and it is not always easy to speak about these things with others. But when the opportunity is there, do we make use of it? Do we, as the opportunity arises, speak about Christ to our unbelieving friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers, employees, customers? Speaking to others about Christ, my friends, is not only the task of ministers and missionaries and evangelists. It is something that we should all be doing. And the question is, are we doing it? Oh, how we need to follow the example of these shepherds in our text. They were plain, ordinary, uneducated men, just like you and me, and yet they proclaimed Christ to everyone they met. Should we not do the same? Oh, may God give us grace that we may be faithful proclaimers of the message of Christmas to everyone we meet, and may he be pleased to use our witness to call sinners to Christ, to the extension of his kingdom and the glory of his great and glorious name. Well, my friends, tonight, this morning rather, we have considered the shepherd's response to the angel's announcement. We have seen that they came to him with haste, they found him as promised, and they proclaimed him with joy. What is your response to the angel's announcement? Have you also come to him? Have you also believed on him? Are you also proclaiming him? Oh, blessed are those whose response is like that of the shepherd's. They and they alone understand the true meaning of Christmas. They and they alone will receive the blessing and favor of God. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you've been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. That's The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me at area code 403-553-3400. For your information, these messages are also being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on The Banner of Truth. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to The Banner of Truth. For more information about The Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for The Banner of Truth.